Have you explained yet another start where you guys are trying to rally here down the stretch?
Yeah, it's obviously been something, a trend for us the last few years. Each year's been a little different. We've dealt with the injuries again, like every team has to. But you know, I think we've played 66, 67 guys. This year, I felt like in some of the other years we were sputtering a little bit, trying to find a rhythm. And this year, I didn't think it was so much that, because we played really well early in the year. Except, you know, speaking offensively, we turned the football over in crucial situations and had a bunch of them. So I think it was just a matter of getting that straightened out. Not so much trying to find out or find a rhythm or getting a flow, because we were able to move the ball every week. We just we're in a turnover funk, you know. So, you know, we've battled back and got two in a row. We've used the bye week to get some rest, and you know, it's another big game against Denver. Seems like it always is every time we play them, and this is big for both teams.
Philip, are you expecting to get back your injured wide receivers and Antonio Gates as well?
You know, at this point, I don't think I'm in a position to answer that, really, to be honest with you. I mean, I know they've been able to recover some, and the bye week was beneficial. But, you know, as the injury reports come out, and I'll let Norv handle that as we move through the week.
Philip, what do you think it's going to be like to play against Jamal Williams after practicing against him for so many years and being his teammate for so many years?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be kind of weird, you know. Obviously, you know, six training camps, he was right there, you know, a yard away from me right there, and obviously a captain here, and was a great teammate and a great player here for a long time. So it'll be a little weird going against him out there, but knowing Jamal, highly competitive, and it'll be a battle for sure.
Did you wonder what Denver was getting out of Jamal, given the fact that he did get hurt and missed that last season in San Diego, and you know, obviously he's played 12 years in the league, and now that you've seen Denver's defense on film, what have you seen from him?
Well, I mean, he's playing solid. You know, every defensive scheme has their own tweaks and different things that they do. I mean, he's not playing in the exact same defense as he played in here, obviously. You know, but he seems to still have a real impact, and you know, right there at the anchor spot, playing the nose.
Philip, you and Kyle Orton have been 1-2 all year in the passing yardage deal this year. You've been doing it for some years. Are you surprised by Orton? What have you seen from him as far as moving his game up a level this year?
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised at all. I mean, Kyle, you know, all the way back to the Purdue days, he's always been a very accurate and precise passer. And, you know, obviously playing against him now a couple times, it's not surprising at all. I mean, he's playing at a high level and playing as well as anybody.
What do you think about the offense here? You know, the system and how that helps a quarterback.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know the system, but you know, they obviously got a lot of playmakers, and Kyle has a lot of trust in them, and. He certainly, you know, I hadn't been able to watch him a ton this year, except for last week. And the ball is going up and down the field. So they're definitely playing at a high level.
Have you thought about Marino's record at all? Have they brought it up to you much yet?
Yeah, I mean, it's been brought up, a lot was brought up about it at the halfway point, you know, where we were. You know, I mean, we want to win. We want to win, and... you know, and in a lot of ways, you got to have yards. Yards help you go score, and you got to have yards to go win. But we want to do whatever it takes to win. If that means run it, if that means throw it, and it's a team deal. I mean, for us to have the yards we have at this point, it's taking every guy. Our offensive line, we lean on them a bunch, in the pass protection because we like to push the ball off the field. They have to block a little longer than most offensive lines, and then our receivers. We had 14 guys catch a pass, so everybody's contributed on the back end.
Are you surprised at all how you've done it? I mean, with so many of your frontline receivers injured, and then you know guys step in, but yet you know the passing game is still thriving.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we got a system here in place, and that we all are very comfortable with, and that Norv and this staff have been, you know, coaching for a long time, and we've had guys have to step up due to some injuries, and we had a great deal of confidence that those guys would pick up the slack, and they did that, and I think it'll benefit us down the road. Obviously, hopefully, as we get some guys down this stretch run, we'll get some guys healthy, but it'll help us as we move forward in case some of these young guys are called on again. They'll be ready to roll.
Phil, the Broncos have been obviously sitting Tebow behind Kyle Orton, and you're kind of one of the guys that gets point two, and they talk about, you know, letting a guy sit when he's a rookie, kind of learn. What did that do for you, you know, coming in and getting to maybe not having to play right away?
Well, during the moment, I mean, when I was in the midst of the first year and second year, it was tough, just because you know, the competitor in you wants to go play and feels you can go play. But looking back, I certainly appreciate those years. I benefited a great deal from not only watching Drew and learning, but just the pro game and seeing it from a different side. I mean, I'd always played in every level. I'd never seen a game from the sideline, you know, as the backup, and so it was different. But I felt like I learned a lot and grew a lot. But I felt that the 2 years was kind of the limit. I mean, after those 2 years, I've improved all I can improve by watching. I got to go play now to keep getting better, and going into year three, obviously that's when I got my opportunity. But it was a beneficial 2 years, but. During the moment, it's tough because each and every Sunday, he obviously Tim's had a role there, still getting some snaps. But I didn't play any, so it was tough each and every week, not feeling a big part of what was going on. But it was you understand your role, and it's very important. I mean, that spot's very important. You're a play away, and you got to always prepare that way.
Look, we know you're a pretty emotional guy. I think we've all seen that on tape and over the years. Do you ever feel like you have to rein it in a little bit, or try to watch what you're doing?
Well, I think there's a fine line between being too emotional and too fiery, and it being just right. I mean, however it fits individually for me to play my best, and how it can have a positive impact on our team. I try first just to be myself and go and play as I did in the backyard when I grew up in Alabama. And I think it's something certainly you're aware of, and you make sure it's received in a positive manner. Most importantly, from your teammates and the people around you that know you, and it's all in fun. I mean, I just love to play, and I think over the years that will be more and more evident as just a guy that really likes to play the game and has fun doing it and doesn't really care about the fact that there's cameras everywhere and there's 80,000 at the game. He's just having a good time, and it's all in good, clean fun. I mean, that's the one thing that allows me to, you know, feel good about it is I'm not doing anything wrong. So it's just the way I play.
Does it go for coaches too? I know Josh McDaniels kind of got into it with a couple of your defensive guys last year before one of the games. Do you like coaches to be emotional, or?
I mean, everybody has their style, both player and coach. And, on the outside, some coaches are unfairly criticized for being too emotional, and some are unfairly criticized for not having enough emotion. I think, guys have their way of doing their job that best fits them, and ultimately what they think is best for their team. And, I think that's, as long as, for me, be yourself and go play and try to help your team win, and everybody has a different way of doing it.
Where's this rivalry, the San Diego-Denver rivalry at, in your opinion, right now?
I think it still exists big time. I mean, it's always exciting to play those guys. I mean, I think every division team you play, there's a rivalry there because you play them twice, and especially when there's players that are there for a long period of time, you play them four times, six times, eight times. I mean, you compete a lot against them, and it seems, in past years it was us and Denver, down to the wire for who was going to win the division. And I'm not counting, I think in this year, all four of us are alive, very alive. And the way Denver played last week, and they'll roll in here ready to go with a lot to play for. They're right in the thick of the division, as we are, and so is Kansas City and Oakland. So this is going to be a fun 7 weeks, and starts on Monday night.
Philip, Josh today said he kind of regretted the smack talk with Sean Phillips, I just wonder if the remark like that he said, "We own you," made its way along the sideline during the game last year, and if that fired you guys up in any way.
I vaguely remember that, some guys talking about it, but I think in a lot of ways, whether it be that remark or any remark, the so-called bulletin board material, I think it can be very overrated. I mean, the ball gets snapped and you got to go play the game. I don't know that emotion or a remark, and I'm not just referring to that remark, but just in any case, can really propel a team for four quarters to play harder. I mean, I don't think that that's the case. And we're expecting Denver's best on Monday night, and we're going to try like crazy to give them ours, and it ought to be a good game.
Philip, I want to confirm your throwing release. You got that from when you were a kid throwing a ball that was bigger in your hand? Is that what I read somewhere?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of how it developed, and then and in a lot of ways, it's less weird, I guess, or awkward now than it was 7 years ago or 10 years ago. I mean, I think it's gradually, just changed as I developed through high school and in college. But yeah, growing up, around my dad's practices, I mean, I was a regulation size ball when I was 5 years old, so couldn't quite hold it, and it was too big to be able to throw it overhand. So I think that's kind of how it. And kind of how it turned into what it was, as I headed into high school, and then it's gradually turned into what it is now.
Have you seen yourself on tape and wondered, man, how do I throw the ball when I got a release like that?
Yeah, I mean, not now. I mean, I don't see it as really awkward at this point. It's the only way I've known to throw it. So I don't watch myself and think it doesn't look right. It looks all right to me.